Hello and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Ryan Johnson, your host, and I've invited Danny, our Director of Sales and Marketing, and Paul Johnson, our VP of Operations, back. And we're approaching Christmas, we're in December, and it looks like, Danny, is that a green screen? Is that like a real wreath?
It's real. It's real.
Definitely a lot more festive than
that's
me.
That's his halo. That's his halo.
And way
trying
more
to make
festive
myself
than Paul.
Look angelic.
So Paul's
today I'm
got
rocking
the,
my Santa Claus shirt
right.
on today.
Extremely festive.
Stop
like the
believing.
Least, I'm the least festive.
No, I believe in you, Paul.
I got some garland. Maybe I'll wear this.
Nice.
Some garland. That's really pokey. Bad idea. Okay.
Acupuncture.
I might just, go mute and still if that pokes me in the right spot. But anyways, a couple of weeks ago, Paul and I covered, I think it was just Paul and I, we covered kind of what to expect. You know, we got Black Friday that happened couple weeks ago. And usually around this time, online sales really kind of explode this time of year. And, you know, the experts, finance experts were saying that this is probably going to break records for how many online sales and how much money will be transacted. This year, because of, COVID, the pandemic, and just, I think year by year, the records have been beaten by, how many online sales were made each year. I think it's just more and more people are getting more comfortable with it.
And yeah, we have clients that we've talked to specifically that have broken all kinds of records, right, for their own businesses, especially e-commerce businesses.
Yeah. And so people are going to be, businesses will be meeting those economic nexus thresholds. And I wanted to, have you guys kind of discuss part of the what's next process is, once you've discovered you've met these economic nexus thresholds, are now required to get registered in one or more states. And I was just hoping you guys would be able to cover kind of what the process of getting registered for sales tax in a state looks like, kind of in detail.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great topic and one that has been discussed pretty heavily recently. We've seen an uptick in registrations even over the last 2 years, especially once Wayfair hit 2 years ago, there was a big uptick, but now even more so with just a number of companies needing to get compliant as a result of Nexus being established. And so as we help clients and current clients and new clients on our What's Next call, going over their Nexus footprint, registrations is a hot topic of what is involved in that process, how long does it take, what's needed, so on and so forth. So we could definitely touch on that today. When it comes to getting registered, one of the very first things that we help clients understand is that the states want to know who's going to be the responsible party or individual for the company. And so what they'll do is they'll request the owner or the officer's information, some corporate head, their name, their phone number, their email address, their home address. Some states like California want a copy of your driver's license. They also want your social security number or a copy of your passport if you don't have a social security number. So for foreign sellers, who reside outside the U.S., they need to provide a copy of their passport is most often approved. And so
what
once
about
you
like medical records and blood samples and stuff, Paul, they need all that too.
Right. I mean, it's quite surprising, but no, they don't need medical records, names of kids, anything along those lines. But it is inclusive.
I have a question.
Intrusive.
So getting registered, what does this get you? I mean, what does it mean to be registered for sales tax?
Yeah. As you once you get registered, it means that you now are able to properly collect and remit sales tax on your transactions. We have a number of businesses out there that we're helping that are collecting tax but are not registered. And so obviously the state wants their money. And so if you're collecting tax, not remitting it, then that's a big big no-no and could be considered fraud in most instances. So you don't want to end up in an orange jumpsuit. But once you get registered, then you, you know, can give the state their money or report the tax collected on the transactions. And depending on the state and depending on the threshold, meaning how much in sales you're making and how much in tax you're collecting, you could be issued a monthly filing status, a quarterly filing status, semi-annual, or even an annual filing status. In Louisiana and in Colorado, they have an occasional or a casual filer where you just remit tax when it's due, meaning if you didn't collect any tax this month, then you can not, you don't have a filing requirement. It's pretty rare to be a casual or an occasional filer, but you can, in some instances, be a casual filer. Most businesses, however, are monthly or quarterly filing. And whether or not you made any sales or you collected any tax, you still have a filing requirement. So that's what it means to be registered and to be a registered taxpayer in the given state.
Paul, is there information out there like that each state provides that shows, say, like a threshold or like a tiered structure, right? That says, okay, if your sales are, you know, X amount per month or per year, that you'll be assigned a specific filing frequency from the state, or, you know, what really determines that, and what kind of information is there state from, you know, each state?
Yeah, not every state has it. Some states do have it. And even on the registration itself, it'll be listed for some states. In other states, you know, like New York or California, you're issued a quarterly filing status right off the bat. There's nothing you can do to be anything different in those instances. And so the state automatically just mandates, okay, all new taxpayers, you're going to be filing quarterly. And then after 12 months of filings, the state will do a review of your filings and determine, okay, do we want that to be pushed to monthly, or can we push it to less frequent? Much like businesses, states also have to process returns, and they know they don't like to process $0 returns any more than you like to file $0 returns. And so it's in their interest to move you to a less frequent filing status. But from our experience and from what we've seen, unfortunately, the states just aren't as on top of it as they could be. So you sometimes don't get changed. Your filing frequency doesn't often get reduced, is what I'm alluding to. You can certainly request it. You can certainly write in to the state, hey, I want to be put on an annual filing status. And then if, you know, you have the threshold, you know, is minimal enough, then they'll certainly move you to an annual filing status. Usually the states are pretty easy to work with in that regard when it comes to changing your filing status, though.
Another question on the registration, right? You prepare that application, you submit it to the state along with, of course, any of the information they're asking for. What's the timeline like? Talk a little bit about that as far as, you know, how long it takes to hear back from the state. Because you certainly mm-hmm. are, right, in my experience with our clients over the years, you're at the mercy of the state, right? Once you submit that information, especially in a time like this where many of the states continue to be overburdened, you could say, even more so than they were pre-COVID. So talk a little bit mm-hmm. about, you know, what to expect from the time you expect submit the application, all that mm-hmm. information until it's actually completed, right, with the state. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In general, what we tell our clients when we submit the registrations is to allow about 2 weeks for U.S. Clients allow for about 2 weeks for those registrations to be processed and issued the account number and filing status. If you're a foreign seller, then you have to submit a number of paper registrations. And as especially in this current pandemic where most state employees are working from home, the processing of those paper registrations, we've seen a slowdown. So we've had one just recently that's taken us, 3 months to actually get and obtain. But in that instance, when it comes to the registration process, I mean, you can imagine from the state's perspective, the state still wants their money. And so if you register, say, effective November 1st, and they're still processing and they haven't issued your account number, they're still going to require tax from November 1st through when that registration is processed. And so if you're going to register with a historical or a start date and you surpass that start date by months, then you still want to be collecting the tax. Turn the tax on in your shopping cart, turn it on your ERP, however you're managing that to ensure that tax is being collected. On the remittance side, that's a different ball game, because depending on your filing service provider or if you're doing it in-house, you may run into some limitations there as far as reporting the tax. But the state is definitely going to require that tax to be collected and paid to them at some point.
So that brings up two really good points, Paul, that that always need to be covered, right? When you talk about this process, the one is, part of course, getting registered in that state and getting to that point of compliance and certainly the ongoing compliance is the tax collection, right? And you covered, 2 points there that I think we can dive just a little bit deeper into. The one is, can I start collecting tax? When should I start collecting tax? Because many people are concerned, right? Because the law says don't collect tax if you're not registered, but you made it clear and we'll make it even more clear and emphasize it here. Submit that application and you can turn on the tax collection, right? Begin collecting that tax. In fact, you should. And part of that process, of course, the core of that process is configuring the tax settings in your e-commerce platforms, your website, any ERP or invoicing system. And, that's something to work through, of course, with your team or, with a firm like ours, of course, if you're engaging us for the services, that's something that we can help with. But the other part that I think we can wrap up with here is that ongoing compliance, right? Not just for in an instance, like you mentioned, where the registration is not completed, but just generally speaking, right? Tell us more about what the ongoing compliance looks like with, the returns that need to be filed.
Yeah. So in that case, in the ideal world, you turn the tax on and you start collecting tax that moment or whenever the state mandates. Some states, when you establish Nexus, give you a 1 month leeway to turn the tax on, get registered, and so on and so forth. So from the moment you establish Nexus, that's when the states will require you to collect the tax. But majority of the time that doesn't happen, taxpayers or businesses aren't aware of the fact that they have a requirement to collect the tax, or they're not proactive enough. And so you're dealing with it hindsight, you're dealing with it, after the fact. And so, ideally you want to turn the tax on as soon as possible, as soon as you've established Nexus and get registered. And if you don't, then, you want to get registered as quickly as possible to start remitting that tax to the given state. But on a going forward basis, if you don't have an account number or filing frequency because the state hasn't processed your registration information, then that proves a little bit difficult. And so in that case, we just encourage our clients to fill out a paper form and remit the tax on a monthly basis until the state processes that registration, so that tax gets remitted and you don't have to incur any penalties or interest because the state is a little bit slower in processing those registrations. A number of states, however, you can file a registration online. You can get the account number and filing frequency back within a day or two. Sometimes it's instantaneous because, they issue all new taxpayers a quarterly status. So you just know right off the bat, I'm going to file quarterly. And so based on your registration start date, that first quarter is due, you know, the 20th following the month end or the quarter end. And so remitting the tax is pretty known, but in some states, and especially for foreign sellers, it proves a little bit more difficult. We have seen an uptick in the number of states that are allowing for remote seller registrations to happen, and that's kind of streamlined things, made a little bit easier on the registration side as far as information that you have to provide. Makes it easier on the state side because they can process those registrations a little bit quicker. You still have to go through the process and get the registration done, but they've helped streamline it for remote sellers without, you know, actual physical presence in the state who just have established economic nexus in that given jurisdiction. Not sure if that answers your question or if Absolutely. I directed. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we can do another podcast and talk more about, you know, compliance and, you know, the different solutions that are out there, the different options you have for compliance. Yeah. And, but certainly always a important point, here from, you know, as far as our messaging is the fact that we offer the What's Next call, right? This free consultation. And when it comes to the registration process, for your company, right? Nexus, any questions around that, any questions around taxability for your products or services, that's all something we can discuss and really customize that discussion to your business, you know, on a What's Next call. And of course, it's a great way to get answers and offer peace of mind, right, for you and your business, and just make sure you guys have all the information you need to then make a, you know, good business decision and take the next steps.
Yeah. No, when it comes to registrations, sorry, Ryan, when it comes to registrations, a lot of people don't really understand that the state requires, you know, officer information, their address, their phone number, social security number, 9 out of 10 times. Almost every state requires, you know, that detailed information. And so they just want to have information that they can verify when somebody calls in and they speak with somebody over the phone that, this person is authorized, and so they authorize them, and through that process, you know, they have to have that personal information. So, and if you stop filing or remitting tax, then the state knows who to go after and who to pursue. That's the other aspect of it. If they'll send address, they'll send mail and notification to the officer's home address if they can't get any feedback or answer from the business through the main address or the phone number for the company. And so then they start reaching out to the owners and officers listed on the account. So that's the other aspect from the registration side. I want to make sure that everybody's clear on.
Yeah, we've been doing registrations for a lot of years. I remember when I started 7 years ago here at Pizer & Johnson, that's kind of what I started doing. Registrations, that's a good place to really learn and understand kind of sales tax. But each state has its own, you know, wording of what sales tax is. And so it can get kind of confusing. And if there are questions that arise, you know, Paul, you covered a lot of, you know, 9 out of 10 times is the information that they're going to be asking for that you need to collect. But there's sometimes, you know, questions that, you know, I know I made lots of mistakes on. I had to go and correct information with the state. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
To make those mistakes. So it is important to get it right. Make sure you're registered for the right tax. Because I know I've done that 1,000 times where one state it's called this tax, the other state it's called this tax. You're like, well, I'm trying my best here. But yeah, if you have any questions, a great place to start is with a What's Next call. Get that peace of mind. Know exactly the correct way of filling out a registration. You know, it's one of the services we offer as well as we do those registrations for you. Because we know the information that they need and what tax, the right name or the right sales tax you should be collecting. I think that's the biggest mistake I kept making. So it was hard for me at first. But yeah, let us get on a call with you and ease your mind and give you the peace of mind you need. So thank you, Danny and Paul, for being on with me today. You guys always make it a great podcast, and we hope to see you guys in another one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.